Roots Pod, an audio production of Roots Blog and member of the Rootscast Broadcast Network. It has been a long time since our last episode. A lot has happened in the interim. Again, this is Aaron here with John and Peter, but even that was up in the air for a while. We thought for a minute that John was going to be elected Speaker of the House of Representatives, and we didn't know what we were going to do without him. A lot has happened, like I've said, since the last time we were with you. Many of us were nearly washed away by the least cool version of the Pineapple Express that has ever existed. And I assume if you're listening to this, that means you are still somewhere in the Bay. You haven't washed away, and or what's happened is that I personally have washed away and my computer has washed up somewhere and someone has opened this up. And that's who is listening to this episode of Roots Pod. Also, since the last time we were here, Carlos Correa has signed like three different major league contracts somehow. One of the weirdest contract sagas in all of professional sports that I've ever seen.
Honestly, if he could play central mid, I think the Roots might take a look.
I would be willing to drop a flyer on him. Not even central mid. He could play anywhere. He's pretty tall, right? I feel like we could try him in central defense.
We need a striker.
We need another central defender.
We need a center forward. That's what we need. He might be able to play there too, you know. Just throw him out there. Who knows?
What we're saying is, Carlos, when this deal with Minnesota falls through, come back to the Bay and maybe take a look across the bridge from San Francisco. There's a role for you in Oakland. What else has happened? A woman went viral for rhyming the name Jordan with Oregon. Did you guys see this? There's a post that goes viral. She says, if his name starts with J, rhymes with a U.S. state, that's a red flag, leading everyone to ask their nearest friend, Massachusetts, what he had done wrong.
Gensylvania.
Johio.
Jarizona.
But apparently she was rhyming Oregon with Jordan, which it's not great.
Sort of.
Where was this woman from?
TikTok, I think, is all you need to know.
Okay. Fair.
The bad place.
The bad place. That's right. Elon Musk, since the last time we were here, has become the first person ever to lose $200 billion or something outrageous like that. And I think also in the time since our last episode, he released or Tesla announced that you could do the full self-driving mode on their cars. And like a day later, there was a 16-car pileup on the Bay Bridge because one of them shut down in the middle of that tunnel at Treasure Island. What a wonderful person to have be so influential in American life. And there was a whole ass World Cup since the last episode. That was fun to watch.
There was a World Cup.
There was a World Cup. My God. Americans managed to do, I think, exactly what most of the realistic, optimistic projections were and do it in the least satisfying way possible. I think that's a pretty fair characterization of their World Cup. It's too bad that I think injuries probably held them back, right? They didn't have Daryl DK who they could bring on. Who is this? We kept bringing on someone as striker that made me.
Jordan Morris
got an appearance for some unknown reason.
I swear to God. It's like every bad thing I've ever said about Walker Zimmerman, which is a lot of bad things,
yeah,
is like applies even more so to Jordan Morris. It's like, these people are being paid to play soccer on television. And why is one of them Jordan Morris?
Is it Jordan Morris? Since the last episode, the NCAA had their college cup, and I happened to be paying attention because my brother's alma mater was in the college cup. And I was just, there was a reference made. This was the first one since 2015 or something like that something had happened. So I just, out of curiosity, I looked up the 2015 college cup on Wikipedia, and I believe it's been a while and this is not an important part of my life. So I could have the salient details wrong, but the important one, I'm sure I've got right. I think that Jordan Morris was the leading scorer in that particular college cup, but I was looking through the list of all the scores and you'll never guess what name I saw.
No, I can't.
Brandon Allen.
Oh, what school was he with?
Georgetown, I think. Something like that.
And your brother went to Ohio State?
Jericho's.
Jericho's.
No, God, no. I wouldn't be discussing him if my brother had gone to Ohio State. He would be excommunicated.
I couldn't make Gensylvania State work because it would be Gen State.
It would be and Gen I thought State. That would be it's probably just a person's name.
Too ambiguous.
Yeah. Yeah, well, there's also been, obviously, a lot of Roots news in the past couple of months that we finally get to talk about now that the crush of holiday schedules has passed us, and in the brief period of time between the storms when we all have power, who knows how long that'll last, but we've got a lot of interesting stuff to talk about. There's the stadium, the roster, the schedule has been released. Let's take those in reverse order, I think, because let's go from, let's say, least serious or interesting to most serious or interesting. So let's start with the schedule. This year in the USL, you get home and away against every team in your conference. Plus, we're going to play at least one match against every team in the East. So that's a nice balanced schedule. I kind of like that schedule personally. The Roots open with two straight trips to Texas and San Antonio and Rio Grande Valley, and then get two home matches against Memphis and New Mexico. One thing maybe to be excited about is that there are only two of the 17 home matches this year are on Wednesdays, two midweek home games. I think I will be excited about that when the time comes. At the moment, I'm still just worried about not getting washed away in one of these atmospheric rivers. But that sounds like the kind of thing you could get excited about as the season draws closer. Gentlemen, what are your sort of initial impressions about the schedule? Is there a match on the schedule you're particularly looking forward to? Peter, why don't you go first?
Yeah, I mean, I think an interesting quirk of the schedule, it looks like they sort of intentionally put conference games at the back end, which makes sense. But it means we have this run from April 8th to May 6th, where five of our six opponents are Eastern Conference teams. So March 25th to May 6th, five of six. So Memphis, and then New Mexico United, and then Indy, Hartford, Loudoun, Miami, and Birmingham. And, you know, some of those teams have made some moves, but, you know, if you were just playing those games last season, you would think that that's actually a, you know, decent chance for the Roots to pick up some wins as well. So, you know, an interesting start to the season where there's an opportunity to pick up points where, you know, you don't have to be taking them off a conference rival. The home and away split for the Eastern Conference seems pretty balanced. You know, it's away to Tampa and away to Louisville. So, you know, probably mark those up as losses.
It's almost better, though, right? I mean, I know that Tampa came to Oakland last year and it's very hard-fought 0-0 draw. But if you're working from sort of first principles, those teams are established. We have, as we'll discuss, we don't really know what Oakland's roster is ultimately going to look like. In a vacuum, you probably figure that Tampa and Louisville are going to be favored. You might as well get teams you can expect to be much more evenly matched against at home.
Well, and I think we probably want to play Tampa on the road because we have to assume, since they paid money for him, that Tampa are going to be starting Charlie Dennis. And, you know, you give him... He has the ball a lot at home. You give him the ball in front of the net, he's never going to shoot. So maybe we like that matchup.
John, anything stick out to you? Any big impressions about the schedule that, you know, your preliminary look at it?
Yeah, on the flip side, and I think one of you guys mentioned this one on Twitter, eight matches in a row from May 20th to July 8th. Are against former playoff teams. So May 20th, Sacramento, 27th, San Diego, and then Colorado Springs. Phoenix after that, June 10th, and then Pittsburgh, Phoenix again, RGV, and Tampa Bay. So that is a brutal stretch of matches there. Going to be tough. Those teams have had productive off seasons, some more than the others, more than the Roots, that's for sure. So that's going to be a tough stretch there. I mean, even the home opener, I'm very intrigued. Or a season opener against San Antonio. It's a good measuring stick to see where you're at, where this team is at. We'll see where the roster is, because in regards to last season, you know, there were still a few guys on the way in. Otar Magnus Carlson, Mikael Janssen. I think that's it. But, you know.
Rito didn't play in the opener last year.
Rito, there you go. So, you know, that'll be an interesting measuring stick for this team. And then that 8-game stretch in from May to July, you know, you hope you're hitting form. You hope you're starting in good form against Sacramento, and let that carry you on the way through that tough stretch of games, because it's going to be critical. You know, you're going to have to take you can't be on the slide for 8 games. You're going to have to upset some teams along the way. So that's where they'll be. We'll see where they're at.
Oh, John, you don't think this team can totally bottom out in the middle of the season and then squeak into the playoffs at the end of the year?
There's no way this team,
man. It's about progress. We got to see some progress.
There's no way this team backs into the playoffs again.
Yeah.
We got to rewind that one.
Oh, man.
Well, one other scheduling thing that I think is worth raising is that the Sacramento away match on May 20th and the Monterey Bay match on July 15th are both Saturday fixtures, which is really, really nice that the USL powers that be are going to allow us to travel for those games.
That is nice. And I think just the one other match that I think is worth mentioning is that we finally get Detroit City at home here. And that is, I know some people have been looking forward to that. I have been looking forward to that. I think that's a weekend match. So that one, I've got that one circled as well.
We have got to get organized chants that will get profanity onto the ESPN Plus broadcast. We absolutely have to flex on the Detroit City fans there.
I think we're up to it. I think we can pull that off. But there you go. Peter's laid down a marker for everyone out there listening. We are developing profane chants for this season, and then I think we can chant them while we whatever you do with the unlawful smoke machine to really just rub in the fact that this is sort of an outlaws group there in the supporters section.
It's a gender reveal machine.
Oh right, it's a gender reveal machine. Those have never been dangerous, right? That's what your modern day supervillain uses, right? Like you've hidden the genders of several babies around the city, and you're going to reveal one every hour on the hour until you get your way. All right, so that's the schedule. The roster, we don't have exactly what you would call a full roster at this point for the Oakland Roots. We have essentially a starting lineup. So the defense probably brings back more than anyone else on any other part of the squad. So at this point, we have Clemente, Barbier, and Murad back in central defense. Rito and Diaz on the outside. Paul Blanchette and Taylor Bailey, I believe, are both on the roster in goal. So that's not a bad place to start. It gets a little hazier after that. Oh, I should mention also in central defense, member of the U.S. youth national team, Drew Murray, appears to be telling people he's a member of the Oakland Roots. Now, there's no confirmation from anyone, and at this point, it appears that what's going to happen is that he's just going to show up at the first part of training camp and just announce that he's there. But he's a central defender, so that's maybe another part of that roster.
So all very Bartleby the Scrivener situation.
Right. That's an elevated reference for a podcast about a second division American soccer team.
It's okay. I assume everyone listening to this has seen season one of Archer.
Surely they have. If not, this is the second marker Peter is laying down in this episode. Profane chants and binge Archer. That's your homework before the beginning of the season, everyone. In the midfield, we're bringing back Lindo Mofeka and Wolfgang Prentice, who so I guess you could say he was elevated to the first team off the 510 squad last year before going out on loan to Northern Colorado, I think. So I think it's a good sign that he's back. apparently he did well in League One, so maybe he's ready for some minutes. The Roots have signed Napo Metsoso from, was it Lou City last year, I think? So he's a guy who's been around successful teams. That's somebody you'd like to have on the roster. And then I think it's not official yet, but I believe they've announced Trayvon Reed from the Jamaican League. I don't know exactly what the Jamaican League is called, but he was a prolific goal scorer down there, and it looks like he played sort of an attacking midfield role based on YouTube highlights, which I understand are the most efficient way to figure out all aspects of somebody's game. So maybe we can think about him as a midfielder, although, you know, like I was, we've been discussing this, and it's my position that if you're just a really good athlete in a league with a bunch of lesser athletes, playing in the attacking midfield role is a lot like how everyone in the major leagues played shortstop in high school. Like, it doesn't say a whole lot. So we'll see where he goes. But an attacking mid role, maybe he's on the wing. And then Derek Formella is back up top. And at the moment, he is the only one who you would consider an out and out attacker. And maybe you wouldn't even consider him that on the squad. So suffice it to say, there are some holes to fill. There's some roster slots that need filling. This picture needs to be built out, but I think we can say right now we haven't really heard anything. There's no rumblings. There are no rumors apart from this Drew Murray kid who's just telling people he's part of the squad. And, you know, honestly, I might start doing that myself. I'm just member of the Oakland Roots. Who's going to stop me? But we're going to need to see something else based on what we've got right now. John, we'll start with you. Like, where would you like to see the Roots look? What do you think are the most glaring weaknesses in the roster right now? And do you have any ideas about how we might go about filling them? Or are you just as lost as the rest of us?
A little bit of both. Lost as the rest of you. I mean, I don't think we went 2 weeks ago, we would expect there to be no player announcements. Naturally, now that I've said that, there will be 5 announcements tomorrow.
So, easily, there's before I get this thing edited, there's going to be several players added to the roster. I mean, I think that seems almost like a dead certainty.
For sure. So right now, I think right now you're not sure who your striker is. Right now, I think it would be Formella lining up top. So that in and of itself right there, you got to find a striker, which, you know, comparatively speaking, looking at last year, we were in the same boat at this point right now. However, I'm not sure if that striker option is on Venezia. There are a few options to look at. A lot of younger players around 19, 20, 21 years old, who have some forward experience.
Let me just stop you just so that we're all on the same page. We do expect, whether there's any basis for that expectation, I don't know. We do expect there will be some individuals coming on loan from Venezia at some point. You know, I think that experiment worked out well for both sides last year, and there's no reason to think it won't continue. So we have been keeping an eye on the players on Venezia's payroll as we watch the Roots build out their own payroll.
Right. You know, I've been keeping my eye on the bottom of Venezia's roster, and there's about like 5 to 8 players who haven't earned consistent minutes. A bit more than 8, but there are a number of those players who you think would price themselves out of Oakland, or age themselves out of being an Oakland option to develop for another year, a la, you know, Otar and Mikael Janssen. So you think anybody over like around 30, they're not going to be an option. You think anybody who has a market value around $1 million are not going to be an option. So that slices a few people down. There's a young American, Patrick Leal. I think he played midfielder. There's a forward. I think he's a 25-year-old Bosnian player. I've been keeping my eye on him. But one player, an Icelandic player, I'm going to say his name now because I want everybody to learn him and clamor for him to come here because he has the greatest name ever made. Bjarki Bjarkason. I want him on our team just for that name alone.
Yeah, I think he's a midfielder. Right. Yep.
I think he's a midfielder. So
it hardly matters. With that name, you can play anywhere on the pitch.
Seriously. Like, how can you not like a guy named Bjarki Bjarkason? His parents either might be really funny or just oblivious. I don't know.
I think that it's like the you get to child having age with a name like Bjarki and you gotta pass it on. Like you're not gonna be the last Bjarki, goddammit.
that's fair.
Back to the roster. I mean, I think we see Wolfgang more actively this season, maybe challenge for a starting role, but definitely be on the subs list at least. Looking at two players we didn't mention, Ryan Herr and Daniel Gomez, I think those two probably compete for a final roster spot. Maybe one or both go on loan. We'll see. But, you know, just not really any professional experience to pull from. Gomez was on Project 510. Ryan Herr signed off of Northridge. I'm not sure. I have to go back and look. But you don't think
I just want to just pop in since we're talking about local youth. I forgot Johnny Rodriguez's name when I was going through who is on the roster.
Yes.
So we have two guys who could be forwards right now.
Right. So, yeah, him included. Who knows? Maybe he can fight for time at the nine. But I think based off of what I've seen from Reed, maybe we could see him line up in a forward role. A lot of speed down the side. He lined up at left wing and right wing in Jamaica. So we'll see how that translates. I mean, you can't fake speed, as Al Davis would maybe not always say, but I was groomed to learn, you know, I love speed on the field. So maybe we could see him there. Lindo Mfeka, time on the right side. I think you want him to play more centrally in his natural attacking midfield role. But I mean, right now, based on who we have, I think you have to kick him out there until we see some big additions, especially to that front line.
And I guess timeline wise, we're pretty sure what we're looking at is this is going to take some time, basically. These are not huge contracts. I don't think there's a huge amount of separation between the teams in terms of what they're paying players. So, you know, these are decisions that can be left till the end, and I imagine that many of them will be. This is, you know, two seasons in the USL now, and the Roots roster hasn't been finished on opening day in either of them, and it seems incredibly likely that is going to be the case again this year.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think right now, you have to expect a majority of the spending funds will go towards a striker unless that striker is on Venezia. But given that's kind of, you know, up in the air, I think for sure odds would be that they're going to sign a guy rather than loan a guy. So we'll see. We'll see. I get these things wrong, but that's what I'm guessing.
I'd be curious to know if, you know, what it is that Delgado looks for in a forward as opposed to what he was playing with, Juan Guerra's lineup, basically. Because, I mean, you can imagine, I mean, going into last season, until right before the beginning of the season, we thought that Derek Formella was the man up top. And that obviously turned out not to be true. But, I mean, you can imagine a possibility that he plans to play two forwards and they're in the mold of Formella and Johnny Rodriguez and not a typical center striker like Carlson. You'd still like at least reinforcements there, if not outright competition for those spots. But, you know, maybe he wants someone who's got pacier midfielder qualities like those guys do, as opposed to just, you know, being very large in the box.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because you see, I mean, both of the strikers under Jordan Farrell's time have been those big, imposing guys, Bokila and then Otar. So, you know, when I think of the striker, that's really where my thoughts go is, you know, that's been the mold Jordan Farrell is looking at thus far as his time in his position. But, you know, it's a new coach. It's a new coach, like you mentioned. You know, who knows what this guy's going to do.
And certainly, like, going into the, you know, in the 2021 season, like, clearly they wanted Bokila to be able to play more than he did. And they wanted Brandon Allen to be competent. And neither of those things came to fruition. But when they didn't come to fruition, he ran a two-forward system. He ran Quincy Amerikwah and Chewy. And a very comparable system would be running Formella and Rodriguez up top in something like a 4-4-2.
God, that's...
Man. Look, I mean, I don't... I don't know if that team makes the playoffs, but it's at least an ethos.
I wish everyone can see the look of stress on Aaron's face.
You know, I'm grateful, you know, to what Quincy Amerikwah brought to the table in that first season. But that team had about 1.5 ways to score goals at the end of the day. And it was like, everything has to go right or the other team has to make a terrible, terrible mistake. And it happened just enough times to get them over the line. And I don't know if you replay that season 10 times if they are as successful as they were.
Only two people I follow on Twitter post unironically about cryptocurrency, and they are Quincy Amerikwah and Akeem Ward.
NFTs too.
God.
I guess that's the same thing, right?
Yeah, I guess I should say NFTs. That would be more accurate.
Yeah, I guess there's a set of people who want you to make that distinction between NFTs and the rest of crypto, but I don't see it myself. So that's where the roster stands. We're looking at a pretty empty bench on opening day as things stand, but somebody will come in from Italy. There will be other signings, probably people we not even on anyone's radar right now. You know, I think that the Roots have a bunch of international slots open. And, you know, what we've heard from people around the league is that basically that's where you make your hay. You know, there's a lot of really good American players, but what tends to set teams apart is those who make best use of those slots. So it makes sense to really do your homework and make sure you've got the right guys there. You know, obviously there's going to be some conversation with Delgado about like, hey, what do you want this team to look like? You know, and at this point, it's still basically a blank canvas. You know, it could look like whatever he wants it to look like. And that is both exciting and probably a ton of pressure. And you know, honestly, later signings may well be dictated by earlier signings, right? I mean, the kinds of players you're able to sign earlier kind of dictate what the team is going to have to look like.
I don't think it's terrible to wait to the end of the window. I mean, I know that it's like stressful and we are in the business of coming up with opinions about the decisions the Roots make, but like, you know, I think that some people are getting a little stressed out about other teams making these moves. And yeah, like John like pointed John. To himself, yeah, and I meant John.
John.
But like realistically, a number of teams in this league are working with a budget that the Roots are not. I think Lou City, Tampa, Phoenix, Sacramento are working with a budget that the Roots can't compete with or are not currently competing with. So those guys are going to make their signings and the Reds just have to deal with that. Once you get past those, I think a lot of the rest of the league is fighting to identify the best players, not race to sign them. And, you know, I don't think sitting and waiting is a problem until it gets to the point that you like don't have players in for spring training.
Yeah.
Or preseason, you know, I guess.
It is still the case that this team won one of its, first 11, 12 matches 2 years ago and made the playoffs. Like, there's not really a hard cutoff by which your roster has to be finished. Yeah. I don't need, like, you know, for my stress levels, for my general, you know, fandom, I don't need to go through that again, but it's worth keeping in mind. But the point you make about the budget, that's a good one. And I think it's a good segue into the last thing we have to talk about here, which is the stadium. The Roots have announced they're asking for fan input. It basically said they're looking at two places for an interim stadium. Alameda, the west end of Alameda, or one of the vacant parking lots around the Coliseum stadium down in East Oakland.
And, well, it's the Malibu lot, and if you look on Google Maps, it's labeled as the Malibu lot. So if anyone is curious, you can find what it is they're talking about.
And I want to be clear, we're talking about an interim stadium here, right? So when we talk about, should the Roots be in Oakland, or is the Alameda site acceptable? You know, this is just for a few years at the end of this decade. I think all of us understand and agree this team is going to be in Oakland long term, but it's about this interim site and where it is appropriate to put it. But the move, I mean, it's basically a statement of intent not to play at Laney in the future. Is probably dictated at least in part by budgetary concerns, because right, a lot of the teams Peter just mentioned that have superior budgets are teams that own their own stadium, or are not not in the same kind of position the Roots are, where they're paying a lot of money in rent to Laney College or the Peralta Community College District or whoever it is they're paying rent to. So this is a statement, I think, from Oakland that, you know, if we're gonna compete in this league long term, we're going to need our own stadium, and that itself is going to take a long time. So we're looking at interim sites. I think there's been a lot of discussion on Twitter, on other social media. I think we'll put this out right now. The three of us are all in agreement that if at all possible, the Roots need to be playing in the city of Oakland. Like, we Alameda is a possibility, but Oakland, this is an Oakland team, and it, if there's any way to make it work, this team needs to be in Oakland. The question I think that the Roots are facing, I guess, is there a way to make it work, right? One of the big problems is that I think that there's two big sort of, let me kick off the discussion like this. I think there's two big sort of sticking points with Oakland. One, there's almost no space. Like, there's so few places to put a stadium up in the city of Oakland. It takes, I think, a little bit more room than you might realize if you're just sort of thinking about it in your mind, right? I think the smallest footprint for any stadium in the MLS is the one in DC, and it's still a good bit bigger than the park down the street, basically. It takes a lot of room. And if you're not going to be near BART, you're going to need places for parking and whatnot. And this is a lot of room. And there's just not that many places in Oakland that are suitable for this. There's a couple of spots mentioned on Twitter, on social media. One, Estuary Park down by Jack London. Problem with that, I think, is that, one, it's not quite as big as you would need it to be, especially since it's a little bit further away from BART. It's also in like not even the first stage. It's in the second or third stage of being converted into a brand new park. So that's probably not going to happen. One that I sort of like in the abstract, Raimondi Park in West Oakland, might be big enough, but it's almost certainly not zoned for a stadium. So you'd have to do that. There's all the environmental stuff that comes along with that, and then it would have to be developed. And that might just be way more than the Roots want to, way more than they can bite off at this point.
It is also like turning a park into a stadium means closing youth football leagues. And like, I don't have a kid in youth football. I do go to every Roots game, but there are a shitload more parents with children in youth football in this city. And the city council is way more worried about losing their vote than losing my vote. And I think that you have to take that into consideration when you look at these parks. I mean, even setting aside that sort of crass example, like, we're not talking when you talk about something like Estuary Park or Raimondi Park, you're not talking about ripping down blighted warehouses that are like actually not doing anything. You're talking about taking away a different social service.
Which is almost certainly why the one Oakland site that's being discussed is near the Coliseum. Now it's a bit of a, you know, the Coliseum site itself is owned by a joint venture between the city of Oakland and Alameda County. I think that the Malibu lot itself is just the city of Oakland. And I believe they developed actually part of that parcel for like tiny houses or something. So that's technically within the purview of the city of Oakland, but it raises, I think, a bigger issue given that it's the Coliseum site, is that where the fly in the ointment for all of this is that no one is really sure what the Oakland A's are going to be doing. Right. And that is sort of the biggest issue, right? The A's are almost certainly going to leave the Coliseum, right? You know, the Coliseum is a multipurpose stadium. Like every MLB team was playing in a multipurpose stadium until 2000, whenever it was that Camden Yards was built in Baltimore. And since then, like there's just a gazillion examples of baseball teams moving out of that kind of stadium to a downtown baseball specific park. You've got like Petco in San Diego, whatever it is, Citizens Bank in Philadelphia replaced Veterans Stadium. You have Oracle in San Francisco, Target Field in Minneapolis.
The Nationals, I mean, their park is not, yeah, didn't replace one, but they moved from wherever they were playing in Montreal to a downtown stadium.
Right. The PNC Park in Pittsburgh, right? You know, I think there are three, maybe four teams playing in multi-sport facilities anymore. And it's Oakland, Tampa Bay, and no one wants to touch the Trop at all. Toronto, which is slightly different because the Blue Jays basically own that stadium. And there's been a number of baseball specific changes. And then I think technically the Anaheim Angels, I think that one of the football teams played there back in the 80s. That's also slightly different because there's no such thing as a downtown in Orange County. So where are you going to go? But it's clear that like the MLB one is going to want Oakland to move out of the Coliseum, or at least the Coliseum as it currently exists. And that's kind of, a decision has to be made on that front before anything else happens, right? I think that's sort of complicating all of the planning here, because sitting at the Coliseum site right now, you have a group that wants to bring the NFL back to Oakland. And like, that's laudable. I'm not even sure. I don't know how realistic that is, but that's the kind of thing that also you can't even begin to discuss that until you know what the A's are going to do with the Coliseum. And
you know, I'll admit
this has to kind of be resolved before the Roots can even begin like medium-term planning. Sorry, John, go ahead. I was interrupting you there.
Or go ahead, Peter. You got something. Well,
Aaron doesn't want to say anything that's wrong. I will go ahead and say I think it's fucking preposterous that the NFL would bring a team back to Oakland. And like, I mean, I know that there's a bunch of, you know, Roots fans who are also Raiders fans, but like, realistically, I think that the NFL supported the Raiders leaving Oakland because I don't think that the NFL is interested in having any markets with two teams that aren't New York or Los Angeles. And they're barely talking about expanding at all. And when they're talking about expanding, they're talking about expanding to major markets that don't have teams.
Or to Europe.
There is no NFL team coming to Oakland in the foreseeable future. And the idea that could be reused for that is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we talk about the issues here with the A's, but the AASCG, the people who want to do that, are arguably the largest issue because they, the city has control of the Malibu lot. But AASEG has had a deal with the city to where they have like dibs on the grounds to where they want to develop around the stadium. So the issue there is with the city of Oakland and how they have kind of ceded power to the AASEG. And the AASEG and the Joint Powers Authority have eyes on the Malibu lot to develop that, I think, into housing. I mean, in the article Simon Campbell wrote, Simon Campbell is a British guy you might hear in my interviews with the coaches. He talked to Alan Dones of AASEG, and he pretty much said it himself. He said the there's plenty of space to accommodate the Roots at the Coliseum, but at the same time, the site has got to be planned carefully and coordinate in a coordinated manner, because it's got major utilities that have to be properly planned for relocation. You say that because that's his grounds that he has eyes on, and that whole project would have to be relocated to another site. Now, AASEG has had control of the area for like 10 years and have done nothing with it. And we've heard that they are in negotiations with the city to extend that period, so to speak. So the AASEG and Joint Powers Authority are just as big as players in this as the Oakland A's. So where do we go from there? You know, that is the biggest question on how the grounds is managed and operated and who gets dibs on what. You know, it's a whole turf war for this grounds. And, you know, as Aaron mentioned when he started the segment, you know, eyes on different locations, Estuary Park, which I believe is Alameda, other places in Oakland, you know, I think we don't have reason to disagree with the team when they said that they've narrowed down their options down to this site in Oakland, this site in Alameda, because, you know, as you mentioned with Estuary Park and these other places that have to be torn down, like Raimondi, you know, that's going to take a long amount of time, and it's not going to be an option for somewhere that's considered, you know, temporary. This is why Alameda and the Coliseum would be considered temporary, because any other ground you look for in Oakland is going to, you know, there's going to have to be property changing hands and things like that. And it's going to take a lot of time. And now, you know, a lot of people aren't privy to just how long this takes, including myself. You know, building in Oakland is very, very tough, as you guys have told me, you know, before too.
And you know, one of the other, I think, salient points of this discussion, we talk about an interim stadium. Like, you don't want it to be too interim. But again, I go back to the A's. Like, you know, the most obvious place to put a permanent Root stadium, unless they were to strike some kind of a deal with Laney College and just redo that facility, which wouldn't be the worst, but I have zero reason to believe or zero idea if Peralta would even be open to that. But that would be, you know, maybe the best outcome, but who knows? But the other one, Howard Terminal, you know, and if the A's aren't serious about moving there, then, you know, I think putting the Roots there mitigates, you know, the discussion around this. You have, oh, there's so much space that's going to be lost. That's a lot of jobs that are going to be lost. Because this is California, we can't do anything without somebody saying, oh, why doesn't anyone think of the car? So you got to talk about traffic, right? I mean, these are all the big sticking points about moving the A's there. But if the A's weren't going there, they're either staying in the Coliseum, redeveloping the Coliseum, or they're going somewhere else. Like, that makes a lot of sense. And it seems to me that a lot of even the interim planning is streamlined if you know what the end goal is. And it's just not going to be possible because the powers that be in Oakland are going to be distracted by the A's until that situation is resolved. It's not even going to be possible for the Roots to make these long-term plans while that is still up in the air.
I got to say, I think the odds of the Roots ever having anything to do with Howard Terminal, I think those odds aren't great, if only because I suspect that whoever turns up the ground at Howard Terminal is going to find a lot of chemicals. And I think John Fisher can bear that cost, but I do not think the Roots can bear that remediation cost.
Yeah, that's fair. And, you know, that probably that's a that I assume is a big part of why the city of Oakland has petitioned for all kinds of grants from the feds to help rebuild that site, because it is going to take a lot. And you know, God, Fisher, though, I mean, how much longer do you put up with this ownership? You know, I was actually stunned to see this. I saw the other day that Joe Lacob, who owns the Warriors, is possibly looking to maybe buy the Angels. And one of the lovely things about being a Warriors fan with Joe Lacob in charge is that the man will spend money, right? He's got the rest of the owners in the NBA pissed off at him for how much money he's spending on the Golden State Warriors, which is great. You know, the salary cap is such that they've got to hit on all their minimum salary players every year to be successful. Simply haven't done that this year. Ty Jerome is not the answer, but you know, we just saw that is possible in the MLB too, right? Steve Cohen is blowing the top off of everyone's expectations about free agent contracts. I can assume Lacob would do something similar. And Forbes thinks that Fisher is worth about $600 million more than Joe Lacob. And I was knocked over when I saw that. I was like, come on. One of these guys is spending all of this money, and the other one tore down a team that won 86 games because he wanted to save money. Like you sort of wonder if Fisher is even interested in being the owner of an MLB team. And
how could you think that he is? How could you like baseball and like choose? No, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
I think even Earthquakes fans would agree with all this sense.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He's got a stake in the Earthquakes. So it's a complicated discussion. I think the unspoken option right here, the Roots have said we're going to move because we've got to move. You know, I suppose there's a reason to say you don't have to move, you know. Like, while you're building a permanent site, you continue to play at Laney. I don't know what the finances look like. And, you know, part of this discussion, I think, from our perspective, is colored by the idea that we want this team to be in a position to be competing for, you know, high seeds in the playoffs and the Western Conference title. And you know, you want them to be in a position to go far in the USL playoffs. But, you know, I think it's totally legitimate to take a step back and say, look, you know, we want this team to be successful, but first and foremost, you know, it's like an anchor in the community. Like it represents Oakland, and that is more important to us than the idea that we make the playoffs and win a few playoff games. And, you know, if that's your perspective, and like I said, I think that's totally, totally defensible. Maybe you say, look, yeah, don't leave Laney until you've built something new. If building something new is really something you want to do, you know, stay at Laney for as long as you possibly can. I think that option is not, it doesn't appear to be on the table. And I assume there's a money related reason for that. But I feel like we should throw that out there as sort of the unspoken third option here.
With the amount of like political fight that is going to have to go into whatever you do on a permanent site, and apparently even on a temporary site, maybe you just start fighting the fight against, you know, whatever it takes to get a better deal at Laney. You know, the Roots are bringing 5,500 fans every Saturday for like at least the back half of the season. And, you know, I don't know if their attendance is trending upwards. I kind of assume so. But if they're going to start selling out every game at Laney, then, like, they probably deserve a better deal there. And maybe that's a winnable fight.
I mean, it's also the cost of putting the field together. You know, wheeling in machines to put the turf down and having a full staff that you have to pay in order to do so. You know, there is a lot of, you know, money being lost just on the field alone. You know, you hope that you could sell out every game to try and finance that. But, you know, to say do that for another 10 years, sounds tough. You know, it sounds like a tough ask.
Yeah. And like we would like to know more about the finances at Laney and about the finances of a temporary CDM. And the answer is that we have not gotten an answer when we've tried to find that information. But.
Right. And
we get the sense to bring all
of this up, of course, is that even if what you think is, you know, wins and losses are not what matter here, at the end of the day, and this is sort of the point, like if you have to swallow being in Alameda for a few years, that's better than there not being a team on the other side of that. Right. I mean, that's when we begin this discussion by saying, all things being equal, you're going to be in Oakland, with the immediate caveat that all things are not equal. And really the discussion at that point is just how unequal are things. And that's, you know, I think that's to be seen. And there's a question about how much of a difference there the Roots are willing to put up with and how much we should expect them to put up with. Right. I mean, if you've portrayed yourself as, fervent participant in the community, how much should we should maybe expect you to put up with a little bit more hassle to stay in Oakland than just to go to Alameda. But, you know, there's, I think, an open question about how much more difficult it is to stay in Oakland in the medium term. But again, we'd rather them be here.
A month ago, I ran a poll on Twitter, asking Roots fans to put aside any sort of question about practicality and just assess Alameda versus Oakland if the Oakland location wasn't one of the Oakland locations we think of as good, right? Because the team is presenting, you know, the team survey presented the Coliseum versus Alameda Point. And I'd rather them be at the Coliseum than Alameda Point. Okay. But, you know, someone in my Twitter replies was saying, well, why not Merritt College? And I think that there are reasons why not Merritt College. But with the exception of John and Steve, actually most people don't want to go to a soccer game at Merritt College. It sucks to get there. You certainly don't want to be driving back from Merritt College with exactly one more beer than you should have drank.
You could go to Sparky's, get a burger, get a shake.
You can't. No one has ever heard of that place, John. It's making shit up. But I mean, like, I mean, imagine that it's like, you know, if you somehow found a site that's big enough somewhere halfway between Coliseum BART and San Leandro BART, like, Jesus, how does anyone get there? I mean, you take a bus or you drive. But that's the same thing you do to get to Alameda. And yeah, it's within the city limits of Oakland, but it shares a lot of problems with a lot of other places, which is that, like, it's not obvious that you can tailgate. There are not bars that you're going to want to hang out with right beforehand. And it's inconvenient. So anyway, that poll turned out 65% Alameda over 35% Oakland Hills. It's not what I was expecting. It got 71 votes, so obviously it's statistically significant.
Yeah, that's scientific right there.
You could write a poli-sci midterm about that.
But basically, that's the sort of rigorous scientific inquiry this blog is known for.
But, in any event, like, the idea of moving to Alameda sucks, but I do want to, like, say that I think that to a lot of fans, the idea of moving to Alameda on a temporary basis feels like the third domino after the Raiders leaving, or like, shit, the Dubs leaving and the Raiders leaving. And now the A's are talking about leaving. And I don't think it is. Like, Alameda is the little brother here. You know, this isn't even the 49ers moving to the burbs because they can't, like, they're not willing to pay what they have to stay in San Francisco. Like,
yeah, Alameda's on the same transit system. Santa Clara is not on the same transit system as San Francisco.
And, like, Alameda, I don't know. I mean, it's not Oakland getting spurned for the big city. You know, like, the Roots are not deciding that they prefer Alameda on, you know, for various cultural reasons. It's just a place that has some open space because it has a dead Navy base. So I don't know. I mean, it would suck, but, like, 5 years in Alameda is better than no Roots, and it's frankly, I think better than a lot of locations, even within the city of Oakland. It's just if we compare it to the Coliseum site or the current site. But like, we're assuming that Laney may be viable, but I think there are reasons to think that Laney may not actually be viable.
Well, I think that's a great place to stop. This is a discussion that will obviously continue. The Roots are going to play at Laney in 2023. I think we have every reason to believe they're going to play at Laney in 2024. So, you know, we can continue having this discussion for a long time and continue going around in circles. So we're gonna not do that. We're going to wait until something else interesting happens before we talk about this again. Hopefully it's soon, because this is not the kind of thing you want to just have hanging up in the air for too long. But we're going to leave it there for now. We have, what, roughly 2 months before the season starts? And we'll be back periodically as things happen, as there's stuff to talk about. And as always, until we have a new episode, up the Roots.